welcome to Game Picks, the NFL preview podcast, where I go head-to-head with my friends from around the NFL to see who cuts it and who can't cut it when it comes to winners and losers every week. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds, and joining me this week is a colleague from Sky Sports NFL, Richard Graves. Gravesy, how are you doing, mate?
I'm all right, thanks, Neil. A pleasure and a privilege to be on your podcast against it. An icon of picks from what I've been hearing over the first 6 weeks.
Well, beautifully set up. Yes, I'm undefeated on the from a week-to-week basis. Last week, I had knocked off Greg Rosenthal. I went 9-5. Greg went 8-6. But I think this is fascinating. Well, it's fascinating to me anyway. Over 6 weeks, I've gone 64-26-1. My guests have gone 57-33-1. So over the course of 6 weeks, there are seven games in it. It's just so hard to pick the NFL games.
Well, it has been this season as well, hasn't it? Because there hasn't been the usual preparation time. There have been some strange results. There have been a lot of points in pretty much every game involved. It's been entertaining.
And talking of preparation time, you have already, I don't know if you've done a lot of prep for this, but you've already started the mind games. I think you knew I was undefeated. And I'm sitting in this kind of virtual... sort of, I guess it's a virtual studio in a way, waiting for you and waiting and waiting and waiting. I know your game. I know what you're trying to do. It's not going to work.
any little edge, isn't that what you and Jeff always say when you discuss the NFL? Any tiny edge you can get, I'm willing to take it right now.
Fine margins. It's all about fine margins. So let's get on to these game picks. Then week 7 in the NFL. First of all, Gracie, how's it week 7 already? You go through this big long off season, right? You do. You go through this long off season, and then before you know it, you're mid season. Crazy, really is.
And let's be honest as well. We're just pleased that this football isn't this season as well. So,
well, that was it. Yeah, we were. I mean, genuinely, I think everyone middle of the summer would have been wondering where we were going. So yes, we've had some bumps in the road, but we've got games and we've got more to talk about now. Let's start with our big six from week 7. I'm going to start with Carolina at New Orleans. So it looks like Michael Thomas is going to play for the first time since week 1 against Tampa Bay. Obviously the ankle injury, then the suspension for punching his own teammate in the face. They need him, don't they?
They do, but I think it also says an awful lot about the regime that Sean Payton's got going over there in New Orleans as well, that nobody is bigger than the collective group. On primetime television, he backed his team and benched Michael Thomas, and they came through, albeit with a bit of luck, to get the win to take them into the bye week. So, yeah, Sean Payton, the New Orleans Saints, for all the talk of Drew Brees' imminent demise, they're still a force to be contended with.
Yeah, I'm going to go New Orleans to win this one. I think Carolina's, you know, with the winning streak snapping last week at 3, I mean, we shouldn't be surprised. They're still in a rebuild. And yes, they've done well. But I think going into, you know, New Orleans, I know there's no home field advantage, but I do fancy the Saints in this one. What about you?
Yeah, I've got to admit, against the Bears, I fancied Carolina on the 3-game winning run they were on to get another against Chicago, because I didn't really... I'm not a believer in the Chicago offense. They couldn't get it done last weekend. I don't see them going down to New Orleans and getting it done there. Okay, there might not be a tremendous home field advantage, but I think Drew Brees and the Saints have got enough to see them over the line here.
All right. Pittsburgh at Tennessee, 2-5-0 teams. We've got the Titans averaging nearly 33 points per game. The Steelers lead the NFL in sacks. That's where I would start with this one, because I'm leaning towards Pittsburgh, because I just think with Taylor Luan being out at left tackle for the Tennessee Titans is going to hurt them. But Tennessee as well, I mean, just I wrote this earlier in the week. I can remember not that long ago, myself and Jeff Reinbold discussing on Inside the Huddle how devoid of star power the Titans were. Not anymore. I mean, they're fun to watch, but I'm going to go Pittsburgh. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on this. And it's all because I think everything the Titans do on offense is predicated around the run game. Derrick Henry's a beast. We saw that last weekend. But you know what? The Cleveland Browns running game was pretty impressive. Number one in the NFL going into last week's game against the Steelers, averaging over 200 yards a game on the ground. And the Steelers limited them to just over 70 yards entirety. They shut them down. This defense is a throwback to what we expect from Pittsburgh. And I think it can take them on the road to somewhere like Tennessee and get the job done as well. I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, even without... And Pittsburgh have a defensive loss as well. They have a big injury. Devin Bush is gone from linebacker for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. But I feel like a lot of their run defense starts up front, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And if Tennessee can't get that running game, then it takes away the play-action game for Ryan Tannehill as well. And we know how solid Pittsburgh are in that secondary up against the likes of A.J. Brown and so on. So, yeah, I'm in wholehearted agreement with you here, Neil. You'll be upset to hear, no doubt. I like the Steelers.
That's all right. I'll find a way to separate eventually. Seattle at Arizona. Big NFC West game. You got Russell Wilson still leading the NFL, even coming off a bye week with 19 touchdown passes. Kyler Murray's averaging 62 rushing yards per game. I feel like actually, normally you'd say, oh, you need to keep Russell Wilson on the bench. You need to run. I feel like Arizona might just have to make this a track meet against that worst defense in the NFL. I feel like there's going to be plenty of points on offer. What do you think?
Well, you hit the nail on the head there against this worst defense of the Seattle Seahawks, because you always think of Seattle and talk about the Legion of Boom, don't you? Well, those days are long gone. This is a team now that has gone a full 180 and is based around the play of the quarterback, Russell Wilson. Now, for my sins, Neil, I stayed up and watched the entirety of the Arizona-Dallas game the other night. It was after the first quarter, it was one-way traffic. And Kyler Murray took time to settle down. Still not quite sold on him as a passing quarterback. But boy, has he got some moves. He is lightning in a bottle when he decides to take off with that ball. And I think that's going to be a problem for the Seahawks defense. So, yeah, I think we're going to see plenty of points in this. It's tough, isn't it, to go against a team that is undefeated, which is what Seattle are. So I'm going to go with the Seahawks, but I think this might be closer than many people expect.
Yeah, I'm going Seattle as well, and I think it's going to be a close one. Hold your Dallas Cowboys gold, by the way, because I'm going to get your thoughts on your team in just a little while.
Can we move on?
Let's go to San Francisco at New England. Okay, so Cam Newton has two touchdown passes in four games this season. He discovered, I think, the painful and hard way last Sunday what Tom Brady knew all through 2019. There's no one to throw it to. And if you're gonna make yards, you might have to do the occasional Julian Edelman throwback. It's a tough one, this. I don't know who to trust in this game. I mean, I guess Belichick I trust. That's where I'm looking. If I'm going to pin my hat on someone, tough one, this one. When it's tough, I normally let the opponent pick first. Go on.
Does that mean you're throwing it over to me? Is that what you say?
Yeah, it's home field advantage.
Yeah, I don't see there being a lot of points in this one, to be honest, no. Neil. I sort of feel that Jimmy Garoppolo's regressed, if anything, especially since the Super Bowl in Miami earlier this year. I think that still plays on his mind, the way they had that two-score lead going into the fourth quarter and they couldn't get the job done. Remember, this is a 49ers team based on defense, and then running the ball and not really asking an awful lot of the guy under center. It's in Foxborough. Bill Belichick is still a master of his craft. And I know what we saw last week with the New England Patriots. They couldn't get the ball into the end zone until late. And the Broncos managed to get by them. But I'm going to give New England the benefit of the doubt here. They were coming off, obviously, the COVID issues with Cam Newton, Stephon Gilmore, and so I don't think they lay an egg 2 weeks running. I think Bill Belichick has got a point to prove. I think Cam Newton, more importantly, has got a point to prove. And I'm going to go on what I saw before the COVID outbreak in New England and say, right, last week was just a one-off. We'll put that to one side. I'm going to stick with New England here, but if you wanted me to put my mortgage on it, it wouldn't be confidence.
No, you wouldn't be betting on this game. No, I'm with you. I'm going to go New England as well. So for the fourth game in a row, great minds think alike. Just on I want to go back to the Jimmy Garoppolo thing there. I think it's interesting because I think you could look at it two ways. You could say, wow, Kyle Shanahan dialed up 8 or 9, 10 passes to start that game against the Rams last week, where they were all thrown behind the line of scrimmage, easy completions. You know, that was a really good way to move the ball, negate Aaron Donald. There's a school of thought there. You could say, well, did he have to do that because he didn't really trust Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, you know, you don't have to scheme up those kind of games for Aaron Rodgers or for Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson. Just makes me, I'm not sold on him. That's just, I think, the upshot of it. And I think that scheme last week was very clever play calling. But again, you could look at it another way.
And something else as well, Neil. I'm not convinced the San Francisco 49ers as an organization are sold on Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember, in the offseason, there was all the talk about them being in for Tom Brady, and there's no smoke without fire. Nobody downright denied that. Brady obviously went down to Tampa, and they still have Jimmy Garoppolo, and all the noises that then came out were everything you wanted to hear. But you look at the way he started the game coming back from injury 2 weeks ago, and that was just horrific, quite frankly. And yeah, I'm with you. I think Kyle Shanahan drew up plays just to try and settle his guy down. Bill Belichick will have seen all that. He's not going to let that happen. He's not going to make it a nice, cozy opening 15 minutes for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to put Garoppolo under pressure from the first snap, and it'll be really interesting to see how he then reacts to that pressure.
Let's move on to Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Las Vegas Raiders. This is the first time John Gruden has faced off against the Bucs team that he led to a Super Bowl win against the Raiders at the end of the 2002 season. I'll tell you now, I'm picking Tampa Bay on the road. And I think actually Derek Carr has really kind of really showed me something against the Chiefs. And I think the numbers, you know, 116 quarterback rating, 11 touchdowns, one interception. If you didn't put the name Derek Carr on those numbers, you'd be talking about a potential MVP season, but he doesn't get that kind of respect. But I think Tampa Bay are strong in their front seven. They're extremely active. And the weak point last year was their defensive secondary, which is looking outstanding. You know, we've spent all offseason talking about Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Gronk and Brady and Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. And it's been the defense that's been the driving force. I think that defense beats a good Raiders offense this week. So I'm going Tampa. What about you?
Yeah, I loved what we saw from the Buccaneers defense last week. I liked what we saw from their offense as well, responding to what frankly was a poor outing on Thursday Night Football up there in Chicago. And the question for me comes down to, for all the numbers look good with Derek Carr, do you trust Derek Carr?
Yeah, it's a big thing, isn't it? Yeah.
It really is. You know, he's flashed in previous years, but then he'll have a down game. And he started this season well, but are you willing to put all your eggs in one basket and say he's turned a corner and this is the way forward for him? Because let's not forget, in the offseason, John Gruden was openly trying to court Tom Brady as well. And that suggests to me that he isn't 100% all in on his own quarterback. The Buccaneers defense lights out against Aaron Rodgers last weekend. Rodgers hadn't thrown an interception this season, and suddenly his first one's a pick six. On the next drive, he turns it over, and they turn that into six more as well. I'm on the Buccaneers bandwagon for this season. Neil, I'll take Tampa Bay to go to Vegas and get the job done.
Both going Tampa Bay. Last one of the big six, the Chicago Bears at the Los Angeles Rams. And the Bears, I keep kind of writing them off and be like, oh, well, they're not very exciting to watch on offense. And they're 5-1. And there's lots of teams around the NFL that lose close games, and the Bears win those close games. So I think we have to start giving them some credit. And I would say with the Rams, they've only beaten the NFC East. They've beaten the four teams in the NFC East, and they've lost to Buffalo and now San Francisco. So I still think there's some questions for the Rams. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, and let's not forget, one of those victories over the NFC East was week one against Dallas, and it was a three-point game. You know, if Mike McCarthy makes a better decision, shall we say, instead of going for it on fourth down in the red zone and kicks the field goal, who knows how that game turns out. I'm really caught between a rock and a hard place on this one, because I like the LA Rams. I like what Sean McVay does. But just as you think that they're there and about to turn in a performance, you see something like we saw in San Francisco last week. And, you know, they were able to shut down Aaron Donald in that game. And if this Bears offensive line can do something similar, then you give Nick Foles time in the pocket, and we've seen what he can do as well. It might not be flashy, it might not be highlight play after highlight play, but he gets the job done. Monday Night Football. Did you say you were taking the Bears in this?
I didn't tell you yet.
I talked up the Bears,
hoping that you would pick the Bears because I'm taking the Rams.
Well, this is the thing. You said it there. They're 5-1. They keep winning games. But I'm not sold on them. And I know it's harsh. There'll be Chicago fans out there screaming at their handset or however they're listening to this podcast right now. But I don't believe the Bears are for real. You remember a few seasons ago when the Chiefs stormed out of the blocks? I think it might have been Andy Reid's first season as head coach there, and were 7-0 or 8-0, and then they just fell off a cliff.
Yep.
I think this might be the way for the Bears this time. Sorry, Chicago fans. I'm taking the Rams.
All right, both going the Rams. Okay, let's get through some of these other ones a little bit quicker, especially the ones that are in the NFC East, no offense. The New York Giants at Philadelphia Eagles. I think Daniel Jones is regressing. I think the offense is one of the worst in the NFL. I'm going Philadelphia at home.
It's a great game for Thursday Night Football, this, isn't it?
It's good, that one, yeah. Staying up.
Do you know what the sad thing about this is? Both with losing records. They'll both have losing records come Friday morning when we wake up and see the result. But one of them will be at least tied for the lead in the NFC East.
Well, I saw a story earlier today. Because you sometimes say, they could win this with a losing record. And you think, actually, the maths don't work out when they play against each other. Somebody can win the NFC East this year with a 4-12 record.
Wow.
So Dallas are halfway there.
you just hold your horses on that one, Neil. I'm going on to Dallas.
Yeah, I'm going Philadelphia. What about you?
Yeah, look, I still think that Jim Schwartz's defense does enough in games. You talk about Daniel Jones regressing. I think Carson Wentz is going the same way, to be honest. So the one thing they have in common is they're two quarterbacks that take a lot of punishment. They get hit a lot. But yeah, I will take Philly at home.
All right. So Dallas at Washington. So here's the negatives for Dallas. Dak's gone for the year. Zeke's got a fumbling problem. The defense is one of the worst in the NFL. The players don't rate the coaching staff. But as I said, the positive is you've got two wins. You only need two more and you've won the division.
You talk about
how's
that Dallas
as a Cowboys
defense.
Fan?
Well, it was hard work on Tuesday morning, let me tell you. And I had to be at work as well for 8:00.
Oh, my goodness. You're mad, man.
Well, yeah, I was questioning my own sanity, Neil. I'm not going to lie. And you talk about this defense being the worst in the NFL. Historically, it's bad as well. This is the 60th anniversary of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think I'm correct in saying that they've never given up so many points on defense through the first six games of a season as they have now. And you hear Jane Slate from NFL Network talking about discord in the locker room and players openly questioning the new coaching regime as well. It doesn't bode well. The problem Washington have got is they have no offense.
No.
You know, Dwayne Haskins has been pulled. I don't know whether you see him back on a field, certainly in a Washington jersey again. Kyle Allen had a chance to win the game last weekend against the Giants. Couldn't get the job done. And let's not forget, it was him turning the ball over that really allowed the New York Giants to go on and win it. I'm going to take Dallas because they've got the pieces on offense. I don't think more than 20 points is going to be needed to win this game. First 20 wins it.
I think Washington are just stuck as well because it's not like they've got a Justin Herbert situation where you can at least enjoy the rest of this season and see what you've got. And they haven't got their answer at quarterback, so they're going to have... They're kind of nothing now until 2021, really, in my view. Let's move on a couple of these other games quickly. Buffalo at the Jets as a get-right game for the Bills after two straight losses. I'm going Buffalo.
It's not even close. No. The New York Jets go to 0-7.
The Green Bay Packers at Houston Texans. So Deshaun Watson's gone over 100 passer rating, four straight games. But I think this just summed up last week. It's virtually him on his own with a few receivers every now and then. It's criminal what the Texans have done to Deshaun Watson with the talent around him. I think it's a get-right game for Green Bay. I'm picking the Packers.
Yeah, again, I agree. You look at the talent of Deshaun Watson, and he deserves better, quite frankly, than what he's had. He's carried this team over the last two or three years on his shoulders, and one by one, they've taken the pieces away. He's, you know, he's swimming against the tide a little bit. Green Bay, they get back to winning ways.
All right, both going Green Bay there. Cleveland at Cincinnati. So I think the Browns get back on track. There's times when the Bengals excite you, but there's also times when they're just the Bengals. I'm going Cleveland.
Well, never more so than Indianapolis last weekend. Yeah. You know, you go 21-0 up on the road. You should be able to close that game out, I would have thought. But they weren't able to do it. The injury to Baker Mayfield is a concern. I don't think he's 100%. But look, I think Cleveland just go back to plan A and run the ball and everything comes off that. So, yeah, I think they go in and get the win.
All right. Three games to go. And we are pick for pick exactly the same. So let's move on to Detroit at Atlanta. Who you got?
I liked what I saw from Atlanta last weekend in Minnesota. That was more like the Falcons you expect to see. And look, I like Matthew Stafford. Every time I think Detroit are getting there and Patricia is getting his imprint on this team, they find a different way to blow a lead and consequently lose the game. I think that seat is getting hot for Matt Patricia right now. And I liked what I saw from Atlanta last weekend. I think they go back-to-back and get the win here.
All right, so you're going Atlanta. The last two games, I'm just going to preface this. The last two games are Jacksonville at the Chargers, Kansas City at Denver. I think there's two pretty obvious picks in there. So if I go Atlanta, I'm thinking I'm going to stay undefeated. But that's not the way
to
stay.
That's a coward's way out, isn't
that's
it?
That's not the way to stay undefeated. So I'm going to go for it. I don't want to tie. Ties are like kissing your sister. That's what the great Vince Lombardi said. I am not having a sister kisser with Richard Graves. So I'm going to pick the Detroit Lions. And I had written down Atlanta. Wow. I've scribbled it out. I want to go for the win. Well, you're going to pick the Jags next, but I'm going to go Jacksonville, the Chargers. I'm going to go Chargers to get one. And I think Jacksonville changes are coming because they're heading into their bye week after next week. And I don't think it looks good for a few people.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think there's a lot of disappointment down there in Jacksonville. I think they expected better and it just hasn't happened. So I'm with you. I'll go with the LA Chargers.
All right. And then the last one on our list, Kansas City at Denver. I'm going Chiefs. I like Denver's defense, so I think they're playing really, really well without Von Miller. And I think that's something that's a credit to Vic Fangio, but it's the Chiefs and I'm going to pick Kansas City.
Yeah, Denver's defense was fantastic last week and carried the team to a memorable victory in New England. But the Kansas City Chiefs have got too many weapons. You cannot cover everybody. And now we don't know how much time Le'Veon Bell is going to see, but you'd imagine he'll get thrown into the mix. I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs as well.
All right, so Gravesy, we don't even need to watch Red Zone with all those other games flying in. We can just focus purely on Detroit against Atlanta. Who would have thought it would be the game of the week?
It's the only game that matters now, Neil.
It's the only game I'll be focused on Sunday night on Sky Sports. Wow, yes, just the one difference then. So I'm taking the Detroit Lions. Gravesy is taking the Atlanta Falcons. My undefeated season is on the line. Good luck.
And you. I'm rooting for you, honest.
All right, let's just finish off this week's edition of Game Picks. Gravesy, obviously people know you from all the great updates around the London games, around the Super Bowl especially. You do a lot of brilliant work. You wear amazing cowboy boots when you're in Dallas for Thanksgiving and those kind of games. How long have you been an NFL fan? I've never actually, in all the years we've worked together, and I know you're a huge Cowboys fan and we sit in a, you know, dinner or breakfast together when we're on the road at Super Bowls, but I've never actually asked how you got into the NFL and when.
Do you know, if you go all the way back to the early 90s, was it Gary Imlach on Channel 4 that had the hour-long highlights program on a Saturday morning? At the time, just before then, I think the only live game we ever really got was the Super Bowl. Every year that I remember. And I can remember having, many listeners won't be old enough to remember these, but it was when the first really mini TVs came out. They had a radio on the side as well. I'd be there under my duvet covers at 11 o'clock at night watching the start of the Super Bowl, because it obviously it was way past my bedtime when that sort of thing was on and it wasn't allowed. So, yeah, go back to the late 80s and 90s, that was it, and trying to get the radio as well tuned into the Armed Forces Network to have that fuzzy signal coming in and out. You'd probably miss about four plays to catch one at the time. But, yeah, if you go all the way back to then, that was really it, to be fair.
And tell us about some of your aspects of your work, because I think about Super Bowl, and I've done it. You know, I've done a couple of those down from the sidelines. But then when the confetti falls, I'm kind of out of there and back up to the studio or heading out of the stadium. And when the confetti falls and the chaos starts, that's kind of where you have to operate. And you know, I've said, do you know how deafening it was in Miami last year and how much I was struggling to hear in the studio? You know, you have to operate in that environment quite a lot, don't you? Do you find it stressful, or does the adrenaline start flowing? What's that like when you're running around on the field at the end of a Super Bowl in what is often a scrum of photographers?
It's awesome. And it's a real privilege as well to be there, Neil. I've got to be honest. I'll tell you a story that sort of relates to this. Go back to the Super Bowl in Arizona, Super Bowl 49, I think it was.
Yep.
And we, for Sky Sports News, we wanted fan excitement before the start of the game. And I remember going out outside the stadium there in Phoenix and finding this family of four that had come over from Australia. And for flights, hotel accommodation, game day tickets, they paid $75,000 to get themselves over there. And, you know, we've done any number of these Super Bowls now, yeah. Neil. And not only do we not have to pay to get ourselves there, but this is work for us. We are paid to be here. It's a real honour and a privilege to be able to call something work that fans would give their right arm just to have a moment's experience of. So when you're down there on the field at the end of the Super Bowl, the confetti's falling, there's a scrum of media all trying to get interviews with the standout players of the game, and you get that raw emotion from players as well. They literally cannot believe they've achieved a lifetime's ambition for many of them, certainly with the Kansas City Chiefs at the end of last year. You forget it, 50 years since they'd even been to the big dance. And they'd had a dramatic come from behind victory. The emotion of all their hard work, all the endeavours, everything it takes, the highs, the lows, the emotional cost to their family to support them. It's absolutely phenomenal. So stressful? No, not at all. The adrenaline absolutely does kick in. But it's every year I try and take a moment just to soak it all up when you're down there, because it is an absolute privilege to be a part of it.
Yeah, we've worked on a lot of Super Bowls now. And, you know, I remember doing hits with you on Sky Sports News down from the sidelines at Super Bowls. We did that one in Times Square and freezing cold in New York. And, you know, we've done a whole bunch of different ones. And I think the one question you've asked me in the build up to those hits on Super Bowl week, more than any other, is, do you know where Jeff Reinbold is? Is Jeff supposed to be here by now?
And it doesn't matter how many people we put to detail him either to try and get him in the right place at the right time.
He gets there when he needs to. But
that's
not
the
a
beauty
moment
of
before.
Jeff. No, oh, you're absolutely right. But that is the beauty as well. Like you say, he's a free spirit and he doesn't ever hold anything back. But if you want to know what's the most stressful part of any Super Bowl week, if you've got a live cross with Jeff, it is making sure he is there, ready to go at the time you need him.
Absolutely. One last thing. Obviously, this is now October. We'd normally be looking at the London Games, which again are an absolute privilege and the big highlight of my year. And I'm sure it's the same for you. Are you missing them?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I'll be honest, up until the start of the NFL season, this working from home, working remotely idea, I could handle that. That was fine. The start of the NFL season, we'd usually be out their feet on the ground for kickoff week. So we had 32 live, of course, which was great. But then come the end of September, first week in October, we're meant to have four games down in London at Wembley and Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. That is the thing that I think has hit me most so far. It's left a big void. It can't come back quickly enough next year for me.
Well, we've shown them 32 live virtually. Now they'll let us go out and do it on the road, right?
Surely. You're a man of influence. You can wield it, Neil.
I'm an ideas man. I'm not a budget man. So, see. All right, Richard, thanks for joining. Just before we go, make sure you head over to our social channels with the @NRPodcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can track our picks and scores throughout the season. Also, send us your game picks using the hashtag game picks, and we can compare how you get on with us. So, yeah, Gravesy, good luck. And, I'm hoping I'll see you at the Super Bowl, but who knows? But good luck anyway this week.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Good luck to you too, Neil. I'd hate to see that unbeaten record go.
It's all on the Detroit Lions and the Atlanta Falcons. What a game. Game of the week. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Bye. That's it for this week's episode of Game Picks. Thank you very much for listening. Episodes will be dropping every Thursday throughout the 2020 NFL season, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All that's left now is to say thanks to our special guest, and may the best NFL fan win. Game Picks is presented by myself, Neil Reynolds. Gary Hayes is our producer, while Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. Game Picks is a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. We'll see you next Thursday for more Game Picks.